Welcome to KC by Sari, a podcast for Kansas City enthusiasts. I'll take you behind the scenes and you'll learn why this Midwestern gem is so special. In today's episode, I talked to Donna and Kelsey, co-founders of the Counseling Collaborative. They've been voted best group therapy practice in 2021, 2022, and 2023. Designed by women for women, the Counseling Co. offers a modern approach to counseling and wellness. Here is Donna and Kelsey to talk about what motivates them to help women in our community.
If you want to know where to go and what is on trend, KC by Sari, she's your friend.
I would love to hear from both you in your own words what the Counseling Collaborative is.
Gosh, the counseling, there's so many different directions I could go with this, but we specialize in women's mental health. And it was born out of something that Don and I were both passionate about. We worked with each other previously. And so this has been something that has been a long time coming in terms of creating what it is today. It's also much more than what we ever imagined in terms of what it's become from when we started in January of 2021 to what it is now. We've grown a lot. And that's a beautiful thing. It shows the demand. It shows the need. It shows that people do feel connected through the work that we're doing. And so It's been exciting.
Yeah. We were chatting today about, well, today again, but Women's History Month. We, before we even had a place, before we had any signage, before we even decided we were going to be, we, again, worked together. And there was a lot of things about the work that we were doing. It was during COVID. So that probably says a lot to many people about all the jobs that were being done. But we had some really big challenges and in different ways in the roles that we were in. So the connection that we had, it deepened during COVID and our idea that we wanted to work together. And then I want to give Kelsey all the credit for this, but we launched what was called the Passport. And we did that ahead of even having a space. And the idea was just to be able to have a way to channel what was not happening in the fulfillment area of our jobs and knowing we wanted to do something else. And so we launched this. It wasn't really ever to generate a bunch of revenue. It was really just to be able to connect with female-owned businesses. We were like pro-female from the very beginning. And we did that. And we did two rounds of the Passport. And what we didn't know is that it would not continue on, but we made the best relationships and had no idea how open and inviting our female business owner counterparts are in so many different industries. We were shocked. I mean, we work with people and we're like, we really didn't have the expectations we should have. Mm-hmm. And we have had so many supports. We maintain contact with many of those original Passport members. And we collaborate with them. We support them. We go personally to their businesses. We recommend them. And it's been the best part of making that launch instead of just getting our name out there and starting to make connections and get, obviously, referral sources. We've established some really good relationships. So we were kind of revisiting that moment. We should have packed it into some social media because we were being sentimental about it as we were digging through some stuff and found the old Passports. But that really was special and something that was, again, a big surprise in the unfolding events of the Counseling Co.
It's fun to look back to see where we started and what it's become now. And a lot of it is because of the relationships that we've built.
What was the decision process to open the Counseling Co. and go into private practice together? You mentioned women empowerment and feedback you were getting. So what was that initial decision of, we have something, we're doing something really special.
Yeah.
This is our idea and we're going to turn it into a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think we were both, Donna and I, in different ways were processing and like having ideas of what we wanted something to look like that was different than what we were doing. But we didn't know we were both having those. We knew we connected, but things were happening separately. So we probably have different sides to the story of how we got to where like we were like, yes, this is it. For me, it was a lot of personal stuff. Just struggling with like work and life and balance. And I becoming a mom and wanting to grow my family and what that looked like in the role that I was doing before, it wasn't aligning and I was struggling with that. And it was so funny because it was January 4th of 2020 that I was journaling about this and my idea and kind of my dreams of like what I was hoping for. And the counseling code name had come to mind. I had been thinking about it, been talking to my close friends and family about it, and wrote it in my journal of January. This is pre-pandemic. And then it was summer of 2020 that I was on my way to work. She was my supervisor. And I got a call from Donna saying, hey, let's maybe do something different. And I want to maybe start a private practice with you. And it was like chills. I was like, now I don't have to go and tell her that I'm going to go start a private practice. I'm going to do it with her. So it all aligned. But what's wild is January 4th of 2021, exactly a year later, was our first day with Open Doors here. So Donna has a different side of that story that I think is also really valuable to share, but it's amazing how it kind of aligned at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely coming from different angles. So we worked very closely together, but we did have very different roles. And we've shared a little bit of, or I have shared a little bit of this very sparingly in conversations with people. And so it was a very tough environment that we were working in terms of, I was one of probably two people in leadership that were female. And it was a really hard, it's a lot of politics and a lot of red tape. And I wasn't able to, I was tasked with a lot, and a lot was being asked of me in terms of leadership, but wasn't maybe treated in the way as my male counterparts were. And it grew from frustration to, I can better serve. I know where I can serve people, and this is not it anymore. And that was probably the final shove, the things that aligned with all of the political red tape and the fact that I was one of two in a fairly large system, that I could no longer do that. And why was I doing that? And it was a change, and that was scary. And I'm more, how, as we unfold some of this, you're going to see that she is a thinker, mm-hmm. and she pauses, and I'm a leaper.
Mm-hmm. She's the risk taker.
I'm going to call and say, hey, we should do this. I don't know how. I just am going to go out on faith and know that I'm going to work hard, and there's going to be drive. And I know that about her too. So I knew that mm-hmm. she's just not going to have some really good ideas and help me pause a little bit. She's going to work hard too. So I was like, I have the best of both things, mm-hmm. so we can do this. And so that was the preemptive to the call that was like, okay, I don't know anything except for, I really am thinking a lot about this. And this is my second round in private practice. Many moons ago, I was in private practice, and I'm surprised I found someone else. There's only two people I would do that with in all the years I've been doing this. So, and it'll be the last, this is the last, the second and the last, but I knew we uniquely could support each other. And we had the same direction in our mind about what we wanted to do, what we wanted for ourselves, what we wanted for women, what we wanted to see in our own community. We live in the community that we work. It's really important to us. So yeah, that's kind of how that all got started.
Yeah. There was this combination of professional drive and want to support women in this way, but also paired with personal, which has felt like more of a passion in the work that we do. It feels personal. We're investing in it. We can relate to it and sit with women and understand that the struggles that come through the lifespan of a woman. And that's where, while she was like the women empowerment, she was had that lens of, I want to empower women to have a voice, to kind of stand in their own. And I was struggling with navigating motherhood and the balance of that. And so that's where wanting to specialize in women's health came, that was born out of that. And really through the lifespan, knowing that that starts at a really young age. And so supporting teens all the way through the lifespan, and life changes, adjustments, stressors, relationships, work, all, I mean, you name it. And mm-hmm. I mean, self-worth, everything is are things that we work through and connect with women on every single day.
I love that. I love the coming together and utilizing both of your backgrounds and your skills, especially being women, talking to women for women. I think sometimes people get lost in the cheesiness of like saying women empowerment, but like it can be hard to find. I have worked previously in another industry than what I'm in now that I found it very difficult to be a woman. There's not a lot of women in leadership. There aren't a lot of women in general. Those struggles, unfortunately, today in this day and age is still very real and is something that a lot of women face.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this the field that both of you always thought you would go into?
I love that your questions are really highlighting mine and Donna's differences here, because we'll have a different answer. We both have a different answer here as well. And I think we often don't always get to share our differences. And I think that's also what makes us a really good team. So this is fun. For me, yes. For personal experiences with anxiety and navigating that and having a really powerful, impactful relationship with a counselor and experience through therapy, I believed in the process because I found relief in the process with my anxiety. And the people who know me today who didn't know me then, like, can't believe that that's what I experienced then. And then the people, like, it was a beautiful thing that happened in my life that allows me to be where I'm at today. So I knew from a young age, based on experience, that I wanted to be a therapist. There was something that I felt very connected to, and I really enjoy it. And I think that is a little bit different for Donna, not in the sense of like, I'll let you explain.
A little. No. My answer is no, but I think that that speaks to the idea that we can, you even mentioned having another career before doing this. And so giving ourselves permission to reinvent ourselves, to change, to find a fit, a better fit, reposition ourselves, those are, I think, making room for women to be able to do that, not leaving as we're moving around or, you know, consistency. Because again, if we go to the comparisons between males and females, it goes back to, would that be the same expectation that we would have of a male? So I use this as a point to encourage women to explore. And when I say that, I've done a few things. So I have worked in insurance. I've worked in corporate. I've done aviation sales. All males. I seem to find myself in a lot of male environments, which is fine. And before I started working with all women, which is so funny, I was like, I get along with all the guys. And I do. Mm-hmm. There's something special about getting along and making a way for. And mm-hmm. those are two different things. So with that, aviation sales, insurance, I also have been a dean at a university. What else have I done? Probably some other things.
You're the donut shop.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done a lot of things. And all of those, I think, lend themselves to the next thing, the next opportunity, and just never settling. I get to decide what my path is, and it is by no means linear in this way. Absolutely not. And that's okay. So that's not really my fun fact you might ask me about, but it is maybe an interesting fact that we get to choose. And I wouldn't trade off any of those experiences, because in many of those roles, I was challenged in similar ways. I was also in some leadership opportunities, and everything about that helped me get to this point,
which I'm also grateful for.
Do both of you find that the challenges that you faced in different parts of your life is what helps motivate you to come to work every day and help others?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's where you can get an agreement from us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a passion with it. And it's when you see it, when you see the person across from you make the connections and feel the relief or be able to end the unhealthy relationship or see that for themselves, like, that or even just show up to the appointment. Sometimes that's hard. And recognizing the little things every single day and the impact that that has on their life is the thing that keeps me continuing to show up, in addition to the relationships that we have here with our coworkers as well, that both bring such fulfillment for me.
Yeah. I think that's the part maybe we haven't highlighted as much, is that we have been very thoughtful about how we hire our staff. And we have even looked at each other a time too and said, we can make things happen and not have to wait or get a stamp of approval. And if it's a bad decision, it's us. Mm-hmm. If it's a great decision, wow, we're really smart. That's great. Mm-hmm. But we are able to really care for our clients in the way that we want to. We get to hire those same women that have values like we do. We get to hire them. We get to be friends with them. We get to, I mean, it's a shared learn community. Yeah, yeah, all of that, because we all have really different work experiences and personal experiences. And of course, you can't be human and sit in a room and not draw from both your professional and your personal experiences and bring that into the room as the asset that you're trying to translate to someone who is looking for someone to help walk alongside them. Mm-hmm. So we use all of that, and we have been really, really intentional about bringing in like-minded women and just using that to be able to have a pathway to encourage other women as they come in as clients.
Yeah. And our goal is for that to translate to be really intentional about how we create our space, what that looks like, yeah, our communications with them. Those things are so important to us because we want them to walk in feeling like this is their space and that they can leave feeling more accepted of themselves, feeling heard, feeling valued. Because when that starts internally, then that starts changing how we show up and engage in relationships externally as well. And so we hope that our passion, our desire, the decisions that we make day to day translate to the clients as well, for them to feel and experience that impact in their personal life outside of here at the office, like here in the office.
Do you think the stigma around therapy is changing, or do you still feel like as a society, there's a really big stigma around therapy?
I believe it's changing, and I believe the stigma still exists. I think both are true. We see that, especially working across generations, we see the changes or the differences across generations, and then based on family too, even within the across different age groups. A lot of people's ideas of therapy or seeking help, being vulnerable changes. So even through the help seeking process, how people engage with that or their ideas about it are different based on what they were taught, told, have experienced in the past. And so it's definitely, we're doing still a lot of education in the room or just processing past experiences as well and exploring, really getting curious about it without judgment, without criticism, but meeting them with curiosity on what are you wanting out of this? What has been different in the past? What does this look like? How can I align with you? How can I collaborate with you in this process? So that happens in the room, but I also think there's a lot happening outside of the room to get people to the room as well. So that's, yes, definitely something that we recognize and still are thoughtful about in our marketing, in our connections, in our networking and community with people of how do we connect with more people?
Yeah. And normalizing some of the things that weren't always exposed or talked about. And so often we've talked about there is a shift also. The positive thing, the encouraging thing, mm-hmm, is there is a shift. And across the board, I think people, but particularly the women we're working with, there's a mindset shift that's happening around whole health and taking care of yourself. And absolutely, mental health is a part of that. And so your physical well-being, your mental health, all of those things are so closely tied together. And just seeing it as again, that holistic approach to taking care of yourself. So, you know, we have seen that shift in terms of the frequency and then also the amount of time that women are staying in therapy. They just see it as part of the regimen. Mm-hmm. And not everyone does, but a lot are doing that. And that is a shift from just even a few years ago.
An investment.
Absolutely.
In their wellness.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's encouraging because that is breaking down the idea that we're addressing something that's wrong. Mm-hmm. No, we are changing, we're growing, and you got to put in the work all the time. Mm-hmm. in the room, outside of the room. And that is the encouraging part about where mental health is going for us and hopefully for our clients.
I think something that we haven't talked about a ton, but something that comes up as well is the tricky part of it's out there a lot. There's a lot of information on TikTok, Instagram, socials. There's also a lot of misinformation. And that piece can get tricky to navigate because some people will seek out advice or information around a lot of different things, but a lot of times they're struggles. So relationship advice, like how to navigate symptoms or coping skills. And they're like, there's a lot of good information, but there's so much that's so individualized that to only use that can be harmful or could be without having all of the information or not having it individualized. So that's something that I think we also try to be mindful of when we are putting information out there. And then also we talk a lot with our clients about like where they're getting information that can and how that does impact them in terms of their thinking and just day-to-day comparison, all of that stuff coming up, but really navigating helpful information and deciphering between like the misinformation that's out there and not using that as your therapy, as your sole source of like self-help.
Yeah. Which is why we try to provide some educational content and some resources that are not everyone's going to choose therapy. It's they're not ready to make a change or it's not the right timing, lots of different variables, but providing the introduction, planting the seed for when and if they are ready. So giving bits of education, exposing them to things that are rooted in evidence-based information, it's science or it's facts. We just try to do some of that to encourage the right information being out there and then just letting them choose if they want to explore that further. So we're definitely not villainizing some of those because some
there's a balance.
Bring things in and say, I saw about, and they want to talk about it. And that helps us really kind of gauge where are people at, what's trending right now, what are they talking about? And we can put some good information also out there that could be helpful, that could be the balance to those things. So it's, with it's social media, bad. There's good and bad to everything, and including social media. And so again, that's a change from not so long ago that you just didn't see therapists out of their offices, out of their dark offices with their couches and, you know, analyzing everything, but we're regular people too. And we, things are different. So we do use social media and we want to get out and meet women and share and be in community. So that is also the other part about normalizing and the shift in mental health, which is really cool and nice to see.
Other than misinformation that people are seeing on social media, what are some other challenges that come with being a therapist?
Previously, in different areas of work, I think, meaning not here at the Counseling Co, like when you're in different agencies or even insurance, there can be a lot of limitations on the care that might be most appropriate for a client, but you're limited based on a lot of different things. And so that's been something that we've been mindful of and navigating as we have created the Counseling Co and just the framework here. We're looking at like a lot of, there's just the challenges of being limited, and not that that doesn't exist in this space, because we are even being limited to 1 hour and navigating, like there could always be more time. We could always kind of spend more in any given moment. And there's so much happening between sessions that I think there's value in that too, but there's places where you can just feel limited.
Yeah. The systems in which you work. And I think that can be because of shortages in funding and just resources. You know, the infrastructure can feel very weighted, and that can be the whole thing, the United States, that can be your city, your town, the system that you're working in. And so just the restrictions or having your hands tied to being able to fully provide everything or provide resources. Yeah. So part of when we began this whole journey, it was so important to us because there are so many constraints in terms of mental health resources, is that we answered our phone. And if we're not a good fit, or it's not financially, if you're not financially able, or it's too far for you to drive, or any of those things, we try to remove as many barriers as we can. But if not us, then we want to be a connection to somewhere. And so answering our phone, following up, even if you're not our client, has been hugely important to us. Mm-hmm. And so the administrative piece of what's happening is equally as important. Being invited into this process and being welcomed and heard, not just when you're in therapy, but our whole staff helping and caring about being the bridge to something outside of even our office is, it's hugely important. We all share that value and live it out every day. So that's really important to us, because we've been in settings where it's like, well, you know, I really would love to help, or we've got a stack of phone calls, and that's been really hard to see. So we do our best to really be helpful in many, many ways. That's part of the networking that we do. We want to make sure that we have a nice community to be able to tell women, like, okay, this is a great resource. If you need pelvic floor PT, if you need a chiropractor, if you need a therapist for your teenage son, we want to be able to help with those, because we do feel like it's a collaboration and we have to help one another.
Mm-hmm. That's what feels different here, is it can be a collaboration, and that we're able to just make the connections and build the relationships, and that it doesn't always have to be us, but building that bridge and being able to meet the client where they're at and identify what their needs are and be able to serve them in that way, where when you're overworked and all that stuff, like, that just looks different. Not that it's bad. I think there's value in every system that's here. And there's also brokenness in every system. Like, it's always two things can be true. And so it's been nice to be able to kind of create a space where we can try to fill that as much as we can. And we also know that we can't fill that completely.
Can you give a rundown of the services that you offer?
Yeah. So our primary is individual therapy, but we also have some specialties within the practice. So we have two therapists that are specialty, EMDR specialty. We have a therapist that is available to do couples and family counseling. We have four of us that are, certified in perinatal work. And so there are specialties. A lot of this is individual therapy. And then we do offer workshops. We offer groups. We have a book club. That's one of the free offerings that we have, where we allow, give ourselves permission, but then have signups, have women come in, and we process through a book that we can all sit together and be in community around whatever our favorite books are. It's really for us, but we also are inviting in other people. So book club, workshops, we have done presentations. We're really starting to expand. We do contracting with small businesses to provide employer-sponsored mental health benefits. Professional consultation for other therapists. So really trying to have other touch points for our whole community, our other therapist friends, and then businesses. I mean, again, we've all worked in different places where there's trainings and workshops, and then being in a lot of corporate settings, those are invaluable. You have the ability to touch on so many more people in those settings, to be able to address a whole variety of things that just knocks down the barrier of the problem of access. Mm-hmm. And so those are wonderful. And we're starting to do more of those. So that's what we're doing currently. I think that's probably enough for now.
Yeah. And our individual services are both can be in person and telehealth as well. And that also helps with accessibility, and mm-hmm. people join us over there lunch breaks, or just, you know, sometimes they're in their car in the parking lot.
Sometimes it's a snow day.
Sometimes, yeah, there's just a lot of flexibility and they can't get out of the house. They just had a newborn and it's like they plan to, and then it didn't go as planned and we switched to virtual. So mm-hmm. it's just nice to have the flexibility in services and where you access services.
there's a special strength that some people have in their ability to help others. I don't think it's a strength that everyone has, but I think it's a strength that therapists obviously do have, because it takes a lot of mental and, you know, even just physical work in terms of being there and being present for the people that you are helping and assisting in any way you can. But as a therapist, what do you do for self-care? What are ways that you take care of yourself, both physically and mentally?
I have to have movement. Movement is something that just allows me to have a better mindset. It makes me feel better, better energy. And I have to start my day with movement. And I notice the difference when I get it versus don't get it. So movement's a big thing for me, and quality time with other people. So when I'm not here, like, coffee dates are my love language. And sometime Fridays, I am like just doing what I need to do to get ready for the weekend. And then just quality time with my family too. I have two littles. And so I try to kind of like reset and shift to be ready for them and be as present with them as possible. And they just naturally bring out, like, you just enjoy the simple things when you're around the kids because they enjoy the simple things. So those are all things that kind of ground me, center me, bring energy to my life, and make me continue, or like allow me to continue to pour into other people too, because those are the things that I feel fill up my cup.
Can I just say ditto? This is where there is some, do not work out at the same time of day, because I am not getting up in the morning because my love language is sleep. I am not so much of a morning person. I also love coffee, but movement for sure. It impacts my mood. Mm-hmm. And I've been consistent my whole life, and it's an important part, and it's great. I have three kids, and we have passed along the importance, the value of moving your body and being engaged, being connected and being engaged in life. And part of that is moving, going. We, family time, I'm going to just copy right off of Kelsey's answers, but it is a lot of family time. Love the quality time with them. And we're big sports fanatics. You can copy on that too. Same. And so we love watching basketball is probably the big one, but I'm game for whatever. So we're pretty active as a family, and I do love coffee. Love going to restaurants and trying new foods. I'd love to tell you that I'm an avid reader, and I am. And then I don't always finish.
But we like TV shows too. I mean, we talk a lot about Netflix shows, and
we do
all kinds of things. Love is Blind, season 6, we're all talking about it.
We are real people.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the unique thing, and we haven't always done this. I have not been, I don't think, in any work setting where I have spent a regular lunch hour with the same people. I was working at my desk, I was doing other things, I was trying to get away from people, whatever that was. And not tired of this. We spend if you're here, if you have clients, we are here every single day, Monday through Thursday, having lunch together. So we share a lot about shows. We do share about books. I do finish some books, and there's some good ones. And we just started our own. We're like, why are we doing book clubs externally? Let's have a book club for everyone, and let's have a book club for us. So we are doing that, and I'm ahead of the game. So I'm liking that, but we share it's, you're going to love it. It's so we share a lot about where's the new coffee place, food, what we did over the weekend. And we've been told this over and over and over again. And we usually pass this on to Amelia, who does our social media, that you all look like you like each other. And like, I'm glad it's translating because it's authentic. So hopefully that's what people see. And I think then it sort of filters out to every single part of the space. Yeah. I mean, you sense the energy when there is a good work culture and people really wanting to do some extraordinary things. You can feel it in the room. So,
and even that feels like self-care on a day-to-day basis, breaking up. We have our morning, and then we have the full 12 to 1, just being in community with each other, eating lunch, laughing, crying sometimes. I mean, you name it, we're doing it. And then we go back into our afternoon sessions. And so that has helped to just kind of recenter, regroup, and that way we can feel like we are also like giving our clients the best too each and every session. But yeah, that even feels like self-care.
Yeah,
just our lunch break throughout the day.
Speaking of self-care, KC by Sari is brought to you by Tap Into It Fitness. Justine Tapp won Best Personal Trainer in KC Magazine's Best of 2023. Justine offers a variety of trainings so you can find what works best for you. I've taken classes with Justine and can attest to her amazing ability to help motivate and support you in your fitness journey. Now is the perfect time to start thinking about your goals, and Justine is the person to help you reach them. For podcast listeners, your first session is free when mentioning KC by Sari. For more information, visit www.tapintoitfitness.com and schedule your first session. Now, back to the episode.
You both mentioned your love for coffee dates and trying new foods. Do you have any favorite local spots in Kansas City that you enjoy going to?
McLean's. I love McLean's.
She really likes breakfast. I like breakfast too. Wow, I don't know. I don't know that I have a favorite. I have a favorite. I guess a fun fact about us, if we want to find out about foods, we can talk to our good friend, Sarah Sipple, who you've done a podcast with. So I don't know if you know the connection with us and Sarah at all. Mm-mm. Oh, well, this is part of our story. She's part of the Counseling Co story.
This could be our fun fact.
This will be our fun fact.
Yeah, it's love it.
My other fact. So we all work together in the same department, very closely together, like the closest of the closest. We had a good connection. And when I had this idea, I did not call Sarah, but the fun
Sarah
fact,
was on to us as well.
She was on to us. She's good. That's why she's good at what she does right now. She gets in there and figures some things out. So again, we started this before we actually had a physical location, which meant, well, if we're going to do the passport and we're going to start having a presence, we started an Instagram page and we weren't ready to start telling people. And we're like, Sarah's going to know. She's going to know. She knows us. She's very social media savvy. She's going to be on to us. Mm-hmm. And you were convinced that she knew. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'll feel her out. And I don't think that she ever was. I can't wait to, I hope she listens to this so she can remind us what all unfolded, because it was a lot unfolding. But the really cool thing is that Sarah believed in us and she said, I'm going too. And she came with us and was the person
helped us open,
was the one that was scheduling clients, helping us figure out how to outfit the space and just bouncing ideas off of and sharing those lunchtimes. And when we're sitting around going, okay, I hope our caseloads fill. I hope this is going to work out. So she believed in the Counseling Co before it was a thing. And we really thought she was on to us. And then we told her. And what was so cool is that we all then had that inside information and all of our resignations dropped in sequence. And that was kind of fun. That felt powerful. That felt very empowered when we were doing that as women. So it was just cool. It's a cool connection. We appreciate her and she has supported us from day one. So shout out to Sarah Sipple at the pitch, follow her.
She's great. I was connected with her through a mutual friend that her and I have really enjoyed getting to know Sarah. She was great on the podcast, and something her and I very much have in common, obviously, is finding new places in Kansas City, being a big foodie person myself. Obviously, she is a great writer for The Pitch. Her columns are always so well written and she does a really amazing job. But it's been so fun for me to get to connect with like-minded women and people who just have the same passion as you, which is why I love seeing both of you together and the way you bounce off each other, because that dynamic and finding someone who motivates you and pushes you and has passion in something together really makes like a unique bond and makes for a great business and for something that people, you talk about authenticity, and I think that people can feel that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. We agree. We all three agree on that.
People who still fall into the category of finding it hard to maybe recognize that they need therapy or have the fear of taking that first initial step, what advice would you have to give someone in that position who's really looking for some guidance of next steps or where do I go from here?
I think with not knowing, it can feel really overwhelming to find a therapist. I think that stops a lot of people of who would be a good fit. And fit is really important in the therapeutic process. And so I think I would say, one, it makes sense that people feel overwhelmed because it is overwhelming and there's not a lot of guidance on how to find a therapist and what that looks like. I think we've actually written a blog on this exact mm-hmm. topic because it is just so daunting. I think something that people don't know is that a lot of therapists offer free phone consultations. And so being able to get connected by searching and starting obviously with, do you want to go through insurance or do you not? And then from there, I think it's really helpful to have phone consultations or to have a way to know that this person either specializes, I vibe with them. The vibe is important. Like you want to make sure that you can like just have a conversation with the person.
Right.
So getting on the phone and just hearing somebody's voice sometimes can be really helpful and asking questions. It can be a short conversation. It typically is a short conversation, but asking, making sure they are a good fit, having those questions prepared ahead of time and then trying it out. Sometimes it feels like dating, which is so uncomfortable, but it's like, I have to kind of try it and see, hey, how does this feel? Is this what I expected? Because not knowing just leaves us kind of unsure of what it looks like and it keeps being scary. And then we keep not doing it. And we sometimes feel stuck in that. So being able to make the call, trying it out, and also giving yourself permission, if it's not a good fit, if it's not the right time for you, that's okay too. Just giving yourself grace and compassion through the process, it can feel overwhelming. And it can also be really helpful too, to be able to just sit across the room from somebody who has a non-biased opinion, who's not your mom or your friend or anything like that, who are also probably wonderful. And there's so much value in those relationships, but there's just a different kind of value in talking to somebody who's not in the know of the circle completely.
Yeah. I think the awesome thing is that the more that we have conversations like this and have opportunities to talk about what mental health or therapy is or isn't, more people are going to therapy, accessing. And so women are talking to their friends. Mm-hmm. They're saying, I mean, you know, they don't have to have their exact experience, just say, okay, so how did you find a therapist and who do you like? There's a lot of, you know, it's a small community, maybe inside of a big community. Word of mouth is important. Our website holds a lot of information. It has our bios, our writing styles, the blogs that we write about really show a lot of character and personality about how we view different things. It also shows our specialty. That phone consultation, talking to your friends, those are all really good places to start. And we give the disclaimer every time we do an intake, okay, minus I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And that's okay. I've been doing this long enough that we just want to get you connected with someone, but that is really hard. That is hard. You know, like if you've ever had a stylist, a hairstylist, or you've gone to a nail person, you're like, I don't know that that's working for me. They didn't really get my vision on that. And so that can feel really hard, but this, we have a lot of conversations. We encourage that. We know that that's part of it. It is that relationship, that connection is if you don't have that, you can't do the work. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Giving women permission to know what is their best fit. We always mm-hmm. tell them they're the expert, and that's the reality of it. We have training. We're going to walk alongside you, but you really are the expert of what works for you, what connects for you. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the really cool parts about us being in 2024 and having access to some of these things. Sometimes it feels like a flood of information, but using those as guidance to get to know, like, what's your style? What do you want to see? Where are you located? What are your offerings? And that's really helpful.
Yeah. And prioritizing what you are looking for, what's important, because if it's not going to work with your schedule, if it's not going to work location wise, even if you like the therapist, that can be hard too. So really looking at what is the priority in finding a therapist and figuring out with that, what would be the best fit allows for it to maybe be more sustainable long-term versus it feeling like, gosh, I want this to work, but it just isn't for X, Y, or Z reasons. Mm-hmm. And that can be frustrating too, kind of as you go through trying to find the right fit.
if someone wanted to make their appointment with you guys, with the Counseling Co., what would be their steps? Where can they make that appointment?
The best way is to go to our website, and we have a contact form that they can fill out. And we then get back with them about all the details in regards to our services. They also are welcome to give us a call if that is easier, or if they have questions before submitting a form. But those are the two easiest and best ways to get in contact with us in terms of scheduling.
We are on Instagram. So if they were to ask for an appointment or ask questions, we redirect them to our website. That's not a problem, but it does give a lot of content, gives a little bit about the different personalities. You're getting to hear the therapist speak. You're getting to hear some education. So just kind of looking around in that is always helpful. If you want to like, share, follow, we would not be mad about that. At the Counseling Co. And then, yeah, the website, the inquiry form, call us. So we aren't always here, but we see the forms. We are on Instagram. So lots of ways to connect.
Mm-hmm. I think it is more important than ever, especially in Kansas City, now having the KC Current. And there's so many opportunities for women empowerment. And it is important to continue to highlight those opportunities, and especially to start women empowerment at a younger age. I mean, I don't know if I feel like I necessarily grew up with like that mentality of women empowerment. And I don't know if it's something a lot of women would say they necessarily grew up with, and that was really ingrained in them. And I think it's so powerful that it is a movement that I hope continues to stay. And it's something that I applaud what you both and you and your team do in that movement and helping empower women.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. And you as well. And mm-hmm. just the more we can talk about it, the more we can get the information out there. I think that is part of the movement that is needed too. Yeah. So thank you for what you do as well.
To book an appointment and learn more information, visit their website at www.thecounselingco.com. You can follow their Instagram at The Counseling Co. for daily motivation and help you along your wellness journey. KC by Sari will be back next week as we head to the baseball broadcasting booth. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss it. For more KC content, follow me on Instagram at KC by Sari.
The city is one and only. Sari is the local one.